welcome to episode 53 of the Planning Period Podcast, your Ed Break Room. I'm your host, Brad Treffler. This week on the show, I am joined by Kristen Worskow, a middle school art teacher out of Central Florida. She is a friend of my friend Sarah, who was on the anniversary episode, and when Sarah told me I should interview her, I said, of course. Sarah told me that Kristen is one of those teachers that just feels impassioned and empowered, and that sounded exactly like someone I needed on my show. Kristen and I talk about support for teachers from parents, government, administrators, even unions, why people don't always look at teachers as professionals, the value arts have in school, incorporating current material to engage students, how experience is the best teacher, and the importance of recognizing creativity in your students. So, sit back and enjoy episode 53 of the Planning Period Podcast, my interview with Kristen Worskow. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Planning Period Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brad Treffler, and today I'm joined by someone who I know in real life via a connection. You all will probably remember Sarah. Wow, my brain in the middle of a sentence just stopped working. That's cool. You guys will all remember Sarah Johnson from an episode previously, from the anniversary episode, specifically a good friend of mine who also did the art for the show and has done a lot of other cool stuff as well. And she got me in touch with one of her friends, Kristen Worskow. Is that how you say that?
You got it. Yeah. Yeah, no. Perfect.
And so Sarah says that Kristen is one of those people that whenever she talks about her work is completely inspiring and amazing. And I pretty much take Sarah's word for whatever she says. And so here we are. So Kristen, how's it going today?
Definitely going pretty good. Excited to wrap up another year of teaching art, and we've been outside vandalizing with chalk today. So I'm in a good mood, doing good.
That's great. I think, getting out of the classroom, just even if it's just to like the courtyard, is always a nice little touch, right?
Oh my gosh. And this time of year especially, I mean, these kids have, of course, finished all of those great tests and everything, and they've been so stressed out. So we've been taking a minute to kind of decompress and get organized a little bit and also blow off some steam and have a good time. So it's been fun.
Awesome. Well, it's good to hear. I like it when my guests are in a good mood before we get into an interview. So that's perfect. So you mentioned art, but could you just do a little introduction to yourself, who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, absolutely. This is my third year as an arts teacher. I teach, all different kinds of visual art, from photography to two-dimensional art and three-dimensional art. It's been a passion of mine for a really long time, and it honestly took me 10 years to get to this point in college and go, yep, that teaching art thing, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry my two loves. So, it's been a roller coaster of an experience, but I love what I do. And I think that really shows. I think that makes a big difference with my students, makes a big difference with my colleagues. It's good stuff.
Very cool. You know, you said you teach a lot of different things. What is your favorite thing to teach?
One of my all-time favorites has always been photography. When I was in, it was high school, back in the days of black and white dark rooms, was my absolute favorite. I tried everything I could to be in photography. There were certain rules of classes you had to take, and I tried to get around those so I could get right in there. Always been my passion. I did way extra in school for photography. Took an independent study class even in high school. So I would say that's really my passion. And I think as students have so much more access to technology and being able to take a photo, the majority of photos that have been taken in history have been taken within the past 10 years because of the technology that's available to us. And I think that's just so cool and inspiring. And I love getting my students into the creative side of what they have the potential to do every day.
That's such a like really cool stat to say that like the majority of photos taken have been in the last 10 years. It's a great, you know, it clearly shows that technology impact of how we do things.
Oh, absolutely. And with how much I'm sure we all have our complaints about technology or how things work, it's pretty amazing how much of an impact it really has had on the arts, especially the things that we can accomplish and do because of the technology available to us. It's pretty amazing.
All right. Awesome. Well, you know, I'm excited to have you on here because the art perspective is so different than a lot of the people I talk to and in the Twitterverse and everything else. You know, there's always a focus on the standards and the curriculum and really on the tested subject. And with yours not being one of those, you know, I'm really interested in your perspective on how, you know, how things are going in education. It's such a different place to start from.
Oh, absolutely. I think I have the opportunity to be somewhere at a school where the arts are so incorporated into every part of our curriculum. Core teachers are using arts integration in order to really reach students. So arts teachers where I am are constantly consulted as kind of experts. And it's a really neat thing. And I think it's unique because I feel a lot of art teachers might not have that same opportunity where they're maybe consulted more as the, do you have popsicle sticks? And I saw this on Pinterest. How can I do it with my students? So I feel like I'm very appreciated as a professional, and I worked hard to obviously be respected as a professional. So I think that the arts, I just see how it works with my students in such a unique setting where the arts are a part of their daily life, not only in my class, but in other classes, and the impact it has on solidifying so much of their learning and everything. It's amazing. I know for me personally, a lot of things in math, a lot of things in history, they didn't click until I could see the art from history that was going on at that time. And then I would go, oh yeah, wow, that's the time period that this was happening. I remember because I've seen it in a lot of artworks from that time. Or even just basic math. I was terrible at math always. And when I had to apply math to an artwork that I wanted to do, I could figure it out. But I could not figure it out if it was just on a piece of paper reading a story problem. So I see that same connection happening with a lot of my students. And it's, to me, it's amazing. I wish every school was the same. I wish I could see that happening everywhere.
Yeah, I agree. Man, that is so cool. Like, to have that much emphasis on the arts as a, you know, I'm not a visual artist by any stretch. I have very limited ability in stick figures, and even that's pushing it. But I'm a performer. You know, I grew up in band and playing trumpet and all that. But I think that's awesome that your school has such a huge focus on it. That's just amazing that you get that respect and you get so much. You know, I think in a lot of places, not only are the art teachers not necessarily the central focus, or are the teachers outside of art not focusing on that, but they're the classes that we think we can pull kids out of so that they can be further reinforced in those core four areas. And I think that's just such a great opportunity for the students to be in a school where that's emphasized in that way. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say I would want it any other way, especially seeing how every individual learns in their own way. There's that thing that they're passionate about and that clicks for them. I feel like if a student is given that opportunity to be a part of a school, whether it's maybe a magnet school or something along those lines where there's a focus of an area of interest, they're going to be a bit more invested in what they're learning because how they're learning it is very applicable.
Great. That's awesome. Well, wow. I'm like super jealous. Now I know. You know, this is the thing that keeps happening with this podcast is like I'll talk to people and I'll say, man, now I really want my son to go to that school, or I want my son to go to that school. It's such a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm curious because of your perspective. I'm curious very much as to your answer to my first question. So we're going to dive right into it. And I'm going to ask you, what is the biggest problem facing education today?
That is tough. I'm trying to think of a word that would encompass the areas because there's just, as a teacher, you know, there's the day-to-day things that you think could be better. On this, for students, you think there's these things that could be better, but I think the best word that would sum up everything would be support. I think that there's a lot of support that could make teachers' jobs easier, that could make student learning easier. So support in general, I guess, is what I would say. And I can obviously elaborate on that.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Let's see. When it comes to our classrooms, there's always a teacher complaint of not having enough or not having enough funding or not having the things that we need. And that's support from the people that we elect. So if we want to have support, you have to be an active voter. And in order to really be supported, you should be a member of your union, which is actually coming. It's kind of making me nervous that we are facing deunionization. And I think that teachers need to fight for this and be a part of their union, whatever county or wherever you are. Be a part of your union and be active, because that's who speaks on your behalf. So if you want support and you want to, you know how to vote for someone who's really for education, your union's going to help you with that. If you ever face a problem and someone has a great complaint, your union is going to help you. They're going to provide you with, you know, the services you need, lawyers, whatever it could be. And being a part of that and understanding that they are there to support you is necessary. And I definitely encourage anyone listening, if you are not a member of your union, join now, join now, join now. Trust me, any fees are better than not having a contract. that is my two cents on that issue. Parental support is another thing. And as a parent, I'm sure you offer teachers a certain level of support being an educator and being a parent, that you might handle things a little differently than someone who maybe doesn't walk both paths. So parent support is always appreciated. And I think that's a solid support that teachers need, to know that parents aren't there to blame them when something's going wrong, but to be a part of a team, because we don't think your child is horrible in any way. You know, we just want to help get them on the right path or send them in the right direction. It's like not accusatory. So support in those ways. I'm trying to think if there's more support I can think of.
it's interesting to me that you have such an emphasis on the union. And it's interesting for a lot of reasons. One of them is that my show not being so centrally located to Florida, but being more of a national or global show, if you will, listen to people all over, mm-hmm. I'm sure they all have very different perspectives on that issue. And it's, we're in a weird place in the state of Florida because we are a right to work state, that most employers and most professions don't even have unions. We're one of very few professions that has a union here in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and you mentioned being afraid, and that's because there is kind of an attack being held against unions in the state of Florida, and specifically in schools are being hit hard by that, because lots of people are not members of their union.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting problem, because I feel like in a lot of cases, unions kind of had a negative stigma here in Florida for a lot of people, I feel like. And I don't know, our union in particular has had a lot of issues in the past with sort of earning that negative stigma in certain cases. And it's gotten significantly better, but I don't know if they've managed to sort of overcome some of the problems they've had in the previous years. I don't know. It's a tough issue, I feel like.
It is. And I know a lot of states have no choice. They become a teacher and they are a member of their union. It's a necessity. And here, I see it as a privilege. And I'll be honest as to why I see it as a privilege. I'm a lesbian. So the contract protects me. And people fought hard for that contract to protect me, so that I can keep my job and do what I'm passionate about because I'm great at it. But someone eventually, if that contract goes out the window and our union no longer exists, I could lose my job because of who I am, which is It's sad to think about that, but it's possible. And it's happened in other states. It's happened in our state of Florida, where teachers have lost their job because of that. And it's a little bit, it doesn't set a good example for students either that are struggling. It sends the message to them that that's horrible. I'm clearly a terrible person and I can never be an influential individual and a good person. You know, that's almost the message that it sends. So I'm a little passionate about it because, well, we all work hard to be teachers and we all have our complaints about different things, but we would have nothing. Who knows what our wages would be if a union didn't fight for what we have? Who knows if we'd be insured if our union didn't fight for that? And I think it is, it's like a really necessary thing to consider as a teacher.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it definitely feels in a lot of cases, regardless of anything, it feels like our profession on the whole is under attack pretty often, and quite often, more often than not. That was a really repetitive sentence. More often than not, it feels like we're under attack. And so I can definitely feel where the union can give a shielding, it can give a protection to you that from all of those outside influences and inside influences sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I have heard many a story where a teacher needed some form of representation, and whether they're a union member or not, they are able to call upon the union for help. And it just, you know, they're here for you and to support you. I think it's just such a necessity, in my opinion.
Interesting. you talked about support in terms of parent support as well, mm-hmm. and you kind of touched on the idea that our parents are, they come at it from a perspective of, like, we're almost out to get their kids. At least that was how I took it. it is a struggle I think a lot of us face where parents can be very combative, when they come at a teacher who they feel like is not supporting their child. Is that something that you feel like is becoming more common, or is that something that, I don't know, do you not feel like you deal with as much being an art teacher, or where do you stand on that?
I definitely deal with that probably just as much as a core teacher, because a lot of people have this general stigma of, my kids should have an A in art. And yeah, sure, show up. But if you're not doing anything and you're not, you know, working to the level that I have set my expectations at since the beginning of the year, well, then no, there's not going to be an A. But I can't say that I've had parents that are really combative. I've definitely seen other teachers go through that problem. I'm a pretty solid communicator, but the one thing that I'll see every now and then is, oh, there's no way my kid would do that. And it's kind of like, okay. So that's one thing. And really just kind of keeping that line of communication open with kids, because I know with my students, like, stuff breaks, right? And how you react to that makes a big difference. So if your kid knows you're going to scream at them because they did something wrong at school, then they're probably not going to tell you the truth about what they did if they did do something wrong. So it's just something to think about. But as far as parents...
Are you saying that some students are known to lie? That is...
No.
My child would never lie to me.
Exactly. I definitely never lied, so... No. Trust me, as a child, there were lots of little white lies that I'm sure would add up to something crazy at this point. I think just as far as parent support goes, is respecting the fact that we are indeed professionals and have your child's best interests in mind. We are not attempting to, I don't want to say we, but most teachers are in no way attempting to just go after your kid for any reason or get them in trouble or, you know, find something wrong with them. If anything, it's usually more of like a, let's make good people. So if, you know, there's not good people and kindness being exchanged, that's usually when I'm communicative, or if someone isn't very respectful of their materials or something, that to me is usually kind of a red flag of like, let's get some support going at home, because kids should really respect the things that they have. I mean, I came from a family where I really had to work for everything I had, hence the 10 years in college. So I was very appreciative and respectful of the things that I had. And I just see more and more where kids, their parents spend a lot of money on their art supplies and they'll throw them out at the end of the year. And I'm like, okay, we're going to communicate this, you know, because to me, it's just kind of keeping that line of communication open and knowing that for the most part, teachers have a really good idea of how to make good people, or we're trying to help parents, you know, make good people. It takes a village. So your support for us is great, and we're doing our best to support you.
Yeah, it's hard for me, I feel like, because my dad was a teacher, you know, all growing up, he was a teacher. And, you know, obviously now I'm a teacher. It seems like such a ridiculous idea to ever assume first and foremost, well, the teacher's probably lying. My son or child would never do that. Like, I would never assume that my son was right over an adult. That just makes no sense to me. And I struggle so much with the parents who do feel that way sometimes, or are that as their default mode. It's so illogical, because it's, on some level, it assumes that your kid is ridiculously matured and capable of self-sacrifice in order to hold the ideals of honesty above all else. And that just is, it's ridiculous because they're children. I don't understand how parents can feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, the last thing they want is to be scolded or yelled at. So they're like, how do I avoid that? Let's see, what can I say? No, that definitely didn't happen. It was somebody else in class, you know? Like, of course, they're probably going to try to push off that blame. So it's, you know, and in that case, I mean, I'm not a parent and I never want to tell a parent how to parent. I'm just trying to say, I'm here for you, with you. What can I do to help support this? And since this is happening, you know, if it's an issue in class, since this is happening, how can you support me from home? And I think for all teachers, it's beneficial to have a line of communication similar to that with parents, because they are your greatest support when you need something. As an art teacher, I need a lot. So I really try to be great to my parents. And I love it when they're great in return, you know, and I can't say that I've really had that I can think of many combative parents, except for my first year teaching. I had one that told me I should never teach. So, but I got past it. I'm fine. I'm doing good. That was one out of however many have said good things. So
yeah, that works. It's not a bad ratio. Bad ratio. No. You know, if you look at both these issues, if you look at the unions and the support we need out for the attacks coming at us, and then also the parents not always giving us the support, and how much we need that, it points to this general belief or lack of belief in our profession and in our jobs being professions. I think there's a social stigma that we are fighting against still, and it goes back a very long time, but it's the old those who can do and those who can't teach, right? Like, there's that belief still pervades a lot of parts of our country, for sure, and parts of the world, I would guess. How do we fight that? How do we combat that issue?
I don't know. That honestly, to me, is, you know, you hear it a lot. Those who can't do teach, and I feel like those people that teach, anyone that teaches and does it well, they have a passion for beyond their curriculum or their area that they're teaching in. They have a passion for the students. They are kind of like caregivers in a way, you know, like we have a very nurturing spirit to want to do what we do. And I think it takes a really special person to be able to do this, which is why I think a lot of teachers that even love it, it's hard to stick around for a really long time. It's hard to retire doing this because it's hard work. And when you don't have the support from all different angles, be it, you know, parents, government, you know, whatever it could be, administration even. I know some people have those issues. It makes it very hard. Very, very hard. Even when your students and your bright little minds that you're so happy to mold are the passion and the thing that really keeps you going, it can be definitely really hard. But I don't really have an answer as to how to change people's minds about that. I really don't, except for to say, come teach for a day. Tell me what you think about it. Tell me if you can get them to learn something with having no experience, you know, doing this and, you know, not being an actual, you know, professional teacher. It's not an easy job at all.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do. Further promote teach-in. Everyone should come to teach-in. Like, not just one day a year. It should be like 8 days a year where we have teach-in to offer up to come in and teach for a day. Please. I beg you.
And let me leave the room so you can see what happens when it's one adult against 33 children.
Oh, wow. Awesome. All right. Man, it is a struggle. And I don't know that, you know, there's a great solution to it. I don't know that we have a perfect solution to it, but it is a struggle. And I think I'm with you that this is hard work. This is not easy. I think from the outside, it can be easy to miss that sometimes because at the end of the day, we're talking, one of our priorities is engaging students and making them have fun and enjoy learning. So it kind of looks like you're just playing all day, you know? So I think that's an easy, I can understand on some level where people see that from the outside, but you and I both know there's way more to it than that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So much more.
And even when it looks like you're playing, you're still managing 33 kids in a controlled environment, which is not an easy task.
Exactly. Nobody has painted themselves or cut their finger off, and we had a good time and learned something. Like, that's a good day for an art teacher anyway. I mean, other people might not have to worry about that.
I don't want them to paint themselves or cut their fingers off either, so it's a good day for everybody that way.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to ask my next question, and you may have already touched on some stuff, but that's fine. My second question is always, what is something you're doing that you wish all teachers would do?
Oh, goodness. I'm like in no way the teacher of all teachers, so that's hard. I love what I do, so that makes a difference. What's something I'm doing? I think I'm encouraging students in a way to interact with material that's very current, even as an art teacher. So when we are taking inspiration from artists, or yes, we look at art history, but I find it so important to understand visual communication. And I wish that everyone in some way understood how complex visual communication is. I mean, we're all learning how to read and write, of course, right? And some people in their second or third language, who knows? Visual communication is its own language, but it also surpasses a lot of language barrier. So I wish that more people would think about, or more teachers, I guess, would consider using current material to engage their students. So things that people are doing now. Someone out there is doing this thing now. Let's look at it. Maybe how can we elaborate on that or make it better? Finding those types of things in order to pique their inspiration, because what's going on now is relative and they understand that, and students engage with it. They go, wow, this is happening right now. That's so cool. So I wish that we were bringing in a lot of current day examples, even in history classes. It's totally possible. You can say how certain events now are similar to events in history and different things like that. But I think it makes such a difference with students, and they're so connected to what's happening in the world. Believe it or not, their little computers in their hand that they walk around with connect them to so much more information than I had access to at a young age. And they know what's going on in the world. So use that to your advantage. I think that's something I wish everyone was doing.
I can get behind that. can you give me an example of something, you know, that you maybe have done recently that you felt like really connected with the kids because of that?
Yeah, we recently, oh my gosh, it's, I hope I don't cry while I'm telling you about it because the kids almost made me cry. But we watched a documentary with my photography students, and it might have been, I was a little worried because a lot of them are on a little bit young for it, I thought. But we watched a documentary called Wasteland, and it's about a famous photographer named Vic Muniz. And what he does is he decides to take his next project to Brazil, and he works with people that work in one of the largest landfills in the world, and they pick trash. They pick the recyclables out of trash in order to basically make money to feed their families. And it's a really dirty, gross job. And these people have these really sad stories, but Vic worked with them and did these amazing photographs, which were, there were so many pieces to the process, which the kids loved. And after watching it, my whole goal was to work with my students and have them kind of develop something from that. Like, let's do a project based on this. So that's what I said. I said, all right, we watched this documentary. It was crazy. A lot of us cried. There was sad stuff. What inspiration can we take from this artist in order to create something of our own? And a lot of them said that they wanted to take inspiration from his material that he used, which was trash, which is fun. That's awesome. And my classes decided that they also, his photos that he took, he sold them at auction, and all of the money raised at auction went to the people that worked in the landfill to provide them a better life. So their main inspiration was that they wanted to sell photographs that they took using similar processes to raise money for local charities.
Hmm.
And I'm like tearing up a little right now. I was just so amazed that a lot of these students who in some ways have a lot, they thought about that. They thought beyond themselves. When you think, in a lot of cases, kids are very egocentric, but no. And they selected specific charities that they wanted to help. And it was really, they inspired me because I realized, wow, you know, I hear people complain, you know, even in my neighborhood, oh, the kids doing this, doing that, or whatever. But they really have good hearts and their heads are in a good place. Parents, you're doing a really good job on that. I'm just saying. But it was touching and it was wonderful. And it was all based on something. Yes, I picked the documentary, but I didn't know what they were going to come up with out of it. And I really wanted it to be something that they were invested in. So I let them kind of plan it. I planned it with them as a class. We worked together, and that was their main takeaway, was we want to help people. I was really inspired.
That is very cool. That is very awesome. And you're also not only taking that, you know, you're talking about how taking that current event, that current documentary, and asking the kids to bring it back into the classroom. But it also, it opens up the doors for them to take it back out of the classroom, right? Like it's like the classroom becomes a pit stop on the way as you're out of the classroom learning about things that are going on beyond the room. And then you learn about it in the room, but then the kids are taking it that next step further and trying to do something beyond the four walls. That's just so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And a lot of it was that it was relative. It was a current photographer doing something totally weird and new. And it really, it hit home with a lot of them. And I was really, like, just really happy with what they were inspired to do. So I think that using those contemporary and current examples in any field or in any subject area to kind of help students see what they could do or what they could make of it, because that's the greatest question a kid will have. When am I going to use this in life? That's always my favorite. In math, when am I going to use this in life? In history, when am I going to use this in life? Show them how they're going to use it in life with somebody currently who's using it in life. And trust me, you'll have them interested.
That's cool. Except for math, because math is awful and you never use it in real life. So, but other than that, I agree completely.
I get my students to use math so much, but I try not to tell them that when they're doing it until afterwards. And then I'm like, you just use math. Because if I tell them they're about to use math, about probably 60% of them tune out. So I usually wait and then say, you used math. Haha. Gotcha.
That's good. I feel like I've made it through about like 10 episodes of my show without making fun of math. And now I feel better. Like that was a cleanse. I always got to get a good math joke. Good insulting math joke.
Math is a tough one. Only time I ever cheated in school was on a math test. And really? I got caught. So I tell my students the story too. I'm like, lesson, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Don't cheat. Because when you get caught, that's what happens. No. They like to know that we've made mistakes too. So like I actually kind of brought it up in my classes. I had a student that I found out had cheated and I was like, let me tell you guys a story. You're not a bad person. You're not a horrible human. We make bad decisions and we recover and we can move on. So yeah, a lot of them know I cheated on a math test story, but now I'm still pretty bad at math, but maybe if I would have studied.
Maybe. Mine was Spanish. Did not do well in Spanish. I cheated on Spanish tests. Not pretty. I did not get caught.
Did you grow up in Florida or no?
Yep. Uh-huh.
You should be a little bit good at it, no?
You would think. No, that one was one where like, the teacher and I just did not see eye to eye on a lot of things, mostly on him not liking my nickname. It wasn't good. We did not get along very well. The funny part is I never got caught cheating, but I still got bad grades, which never made any sense to me.
You were doing something wrong.
He could never justify why I got the grades I got though. That was weird. That was always odd, but. Anyways, that's not really the point of the podcast. Let's move past all of that. You know, talking about a teacher who is not my favorite of all time leads me to thinking about my last question for all my guests. And my last question for all my guests is always, who is the best teacher you have ever had?
I feel so fortunate to have had so many great teachers that really inspired me, and I thanked a lot of them on teacher appreciation personally, saying thank you for inspiring me. And I have just so many people and so many teachers that have inspired me, but I think honestly the greatest teacher, I hate to do this because my teachers that have inspired me are great, but I think the greatest teacher for anyone is honestly experience. So having experiences, learning from them, experiencing something new. I think we learn so much from experience that to me is, it's invaluable. And I think everyone could possibly say that could be one of their best teachers, is having some form of experience. I don't know. I'm sure you want me to name names, which I can totally do.
I was going to say, I feel like you totally cheated on that question, and I would expect that from an English teacher, not from an art teacher. You're killing me.
Well, art is totally experience. I mean, an artist doesn't create without having had an experience and wanting to maybe communicate a viewpoint or an emotion that they had due to an experience. So that's why I think that's where I went, because to me, as an artist and an art teacher, I think that's where a lot of our visual communication comes from. But great teachers, I've definitely had a lot. I can't sing to save my life, but I had an amazing chorus teacher in middle school who really encouraged me. And maybe she thought I could sing, but listen, everybody in my family will tell you that I am bad. But she was wonderful to me and really just harbored my creativity. So I hadn't really started taking art classes in middle school yet. I decided I wanted to sing because clearly I was really good at it. And she was just amazing. And I don't think I would have continued to pursue anything creative if I didn't have the support I had gotten from her. So she's definitely probably one of my all-inspiring. And my fifth grade teacher, I think that's a big deal. She suggested me to take a gifted test, which I thought was great. Of course, I like failed miserably, I'm sure. Anyway, I don't know. All I know is I didn't pass it and I didn't get into gifted. So, but she recognized that I've thought differently, which is very common in creative people. So, I just really looked up to her. She encouraged me to do a lot of things instead of just being the class clown, which was great. I needed that. So I've had really, like, those two especially really wonderful teachers that harbored my creativity in very unique ways and recognized some form of creativity in me and maybe even lied to me and told me I was a good singer. So thank you.
I like that. Yeah. Sometimes lying is the best thing we can do for our students. That's a good message to take.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Well, I think building a certain confidence, and sometimes you've got to make them work to build that confidence, but building a certain confidence or saying, that's great. Like in art, I use it all the time. This is great. Let's work on fixing this. Also, this is going great. Like total critique sandwich with everything. Start on a good note, end on a good note. Give that constructive criticism in the middle, but don't fully give a list of errors to a kid. That's where like language arts becomes really rough. Like you just see all these pen marks of these things that I've done wrong. And it's like, where's my encouragement? I'm like throwing in the towel, you know? So just kind of that thoughtful feedback and really trying to empower more than break down, because that makes a big difference to kids. The second they get frustrated with something, they could just stop trying in general. And I hate to see that happen.
I think I agree. Man, that's awesome. It's very cool. You know, Kristen, I really appreciate your time. I even though you cheated on my last question, I think experience is a great teacher, but I will allow it.
I talked about my other two though. I did.
You did. You got there. It's good. But no, I really appreciate your time, Kristen. It's been an awesome conversation. I am blown away by what your students are doing, but I think you need to accept that that is a framework that you provided them, that is a reflection of what you have given them and the kind of freedom you give them in your classroom. And I think that that is truly powerful. And I really appreciate your time speaking with me today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much for the opportunity. This was really fun. I thought I was going to be super nervous, but it really wasn't bad at all. Thank you.
See, it's not that bad once you start, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's kind of like, you know, I talk all day long. I guess this isn't that different. Except someone's like listening. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, see, no, this is exactly like teaching, because really you want to believe everyone's listening. But honestly, it's just me and my dad, I think, are the only two that actually listened to any of this. So it's totally fine.
So you'll email me your notes that you took, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. So.
All right, Kristen, I really appreciate it. Thank you for talking with me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yep, have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Kristen, thank you so much for talking with me. It was nice to get your perspective as an art teacher and to add your voice to the conversation about education. If you have comments or questions about the show, you can always connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm at Brad Schreffler. I love to hear from you there, and that's a great place to connect if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Or the feedback page on my website gives you options for feedback as well, which you can find at bradschreffler.com/feedback. Until next week, try to go out and support another teacher. Music for the Planning Period podcast is the song Vicious by Kevin MacLeod, used under Creative Commons. You can find him at incompetech.com. The Planning Period podcast is also a proud member of the VoiceEd Radio Network, a 24-hour radio network all about education all the time. VoiceEd Radio. Your voice is right here.